And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin a brand new era of Wrestling Observer Live Sundays. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, July 19th. Welcome to the show. Of course, every week, every day, we come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. Thank you for subscribing if you're listening to us there. The Sports Byline Broadcast Network, thank you if you're listening to this show there. All of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM, iHeart, TuneIn, apps all over the world. Everywhere you get a fine signal, I thank you for joining me on this Sunday. Special shout-out to those, of course, listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. Yes, the show has returned and will return for the rest of the summer and the rest of the year. We'll talk more about that later in the show. My name is Josh Nason again. I am a writer, contributor, podcaster at WrestlingObserver.com, the choice for you to listen and read about pro wrestling and MMA/UFC. A lot to talk about over the next hour. A lot to talk about. Been some chatter on social media about AEW booking, including from our own Brian Alvarez. Got some social traction about their booking. Also, when is the right time to rate a match anyway? Is there a statute of limitations? We'll talk about some of the more ridiculous talking points and discussions from this week. We'll talk about the in-ring. Saturday night, we had Saturday night's main event. We also had AEW Collision. There's some AAA as well. All kinds of things happening at Fanatics Fest this week, including one of my favorite football players of all time just making a complete fool of himself. We'll talk about that, you and I. And some things that I think, which include Conor McGregor, Fanatics Fest, head-to-head competition, and the rest. All that and more awaits you. The brand new Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. I hope you join me after the break, which begins right about now. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, the flagship for Wrestling Observer Live for the week. I'll take that claim. My name is Josh Nason, longtime contributing editor, writer, sometimes podcaster for WrestlingObserver.com. Been doing this for over 15 years, in case you didn't know. We're writing about MMA a lot longer than that, back to 2005. So I'm glad to be with you again. We are back on Sundays for the duration. I'm taking over for Andrew Zarian, our fine co-host on WOL Sundays for the duration of the summer. And then after that, Andrew and I, sounds like we're going to do a split. His schedule is very busy. He's got kids. He's got a bunch of other commitments. And I'm happy to help. And this is what we're going to do. We did this last summer. Andrew Zarian's summer vacation means more of me. And hopefully you're okay with that. We're going to do things a little bit differently going forward. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I want to change some things up. You hear a lot of the same audio day after day, wherever you go. So we're going to do some things differently. We're going to lean into our subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to open some questions up to them as the weeks go on. And we're going to have some guests on, I think. That's fun. I used to do that in my old podcast. We'll be doing that. And yeah, every Sunday for the duration, unless something comes up, we're going to be here with you talking about wrestling, and let's get into that right now. We're going to chat about a few things that happen on our very website throughout the week. If you're listening to this on Sports Byline or the American Forces Network, maybe you're not a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. You certainly can. I encourage that. A bunch of different ways to do that. There's some chatter this week from our own Brian Alvarez, a co-founder of this merged website, if you will. Talking about AEW. Now, I was on vacation this past week. I was in the beautiful state of Vermont, the home of Green Mountain Wrestling. That's right. Very up-and-coming indie in Vermont. Adam Lash doing some great stuff up there. Maybe we'll talk to him at some point. It's always kind of fascinating to talk to people on the ground that are trying to start wrestling and really trying to revive it in areas that may not be that well populated and so on. And population dense, or not dense, I guess. But we'll talk to him, I think, at some point. His really fascinating story. But anyways, I was kind of out for the week. But still, as everyone is, always connected. And I happened to see some clips. Yes, audio clips on social media. All the rage these days, including for our website. And Brian had a little bit of a rant against AEW booking. Now, I heard Wrestling Observer Radio on Wednesday. And Brian did not like the show. And I understand that. And Dave and Dave Meltzer, he and Brian had a little bit of a disagreement. And then Brian went on his own podcast, Brian and Vinny Show, which you can hear on our website as well. And he decided to kind of go in a little bit more. I can't play the full clip where he won because it's about 7 minutes, cut into my time. And also there's some choice language. It may not be good for the FCC if you're out there, but you can certainly hear it. I'll include in the notes for this show. But essentially, he talked about how AEW fans, or at least a segment of the fan base, are unable to deal with criticism. And they can't honestly critique, and they say that people like him that may complain are a hater. And Brian, of course, puts this out there, and you can listen to the clip for yourselves to get the full context. But I listened to it, and I agree with some sentiments. And I think the bigger point of what Brian was trying to say is that our society at this point, we're going to get deep, we lack the ability, or we are continuing to evolve the lack of critical thinking. And this is only amplified by social media. To criticize now is seen as being a hater, that you can't criticize anything. And this goes for every walk of life. If you don't like it, it's the build the wall mentality. If you don't like your favorite sports team, something's a complaint, or you're just a hater, unless it's so universally understood or felt that a team is bad or really good or something like that. And it's a popular opinion. But if it's an unpopular opinion, you're just a hater, or you're trying too hard for attention, or you're just trying to be I can't remember what the term is off the top of my head, but essentially just trying to go against the grain just for the sake of doing it, right? And we run this with pro wrestling a lot, of course. And a part of this is we are so consumed, so many of us, with what happens on social. That is the end-all, be-all for pro wrestling talk. And to an extent, it kind of is. Like, obviously, there's YouTube. I mean, there's thousands of podcasts and so on and so forth. But wrestling is not covered on a regular basis like professional sports are in terms of on TV and the radio and all these kind of old school things, right? So we have these echo chambers of social media. And what we're finding, of course, is that if you, in this quote-unquote wrestling war between WWE and AEW, you have to take a side, kind of like politics. And this is what kind of follows along with. You have to take a side. You have to pick, or else you don't exist. And if you pick a side, obviously that must mean that you like every single thing about that company and you can't critique, which is it's complete farce. It's complete BS. To care about something elicits emotional reactions. My favorite TV shows, I'm staring at a DVD set right now, The Shield, one of my favorite shows of all time. Not the Roman Reigns, Jon Moxley, Seth Rollins trio. No. What I am talking about is the FX show starring Michael Chiklis and so on. I encourage you to watch it. Did I like every single thing about the show? No. I liked a lot of it. But same with a lot of TVs and movies that I watch. My friend and I go see a lot of the comic book movies, Marvel and DC and the like. And a lot of times we come out of the theater saying, oh, well, that wasn't that great. We did like this and this and this, but it wasn't my favorite. It doesn't mean we hated everything about it. We're always going to go see the next one, but it's just kind of is what it is. I think that's what Brian was trying to say, is that with AEW, it's okay to say that things aren't great. With WWE, it's okay to say things are not great. I like this. I didn't like this. If you don't like a wrestler, or you didn't like a segment, that's all right. You don't have to. You're not supposed to. Wrestling at its best is when it's a smorgasbord approach. The buffet. There's something for everyone. Try to please everyone, you don't please anyone. And wrestling at its best, it has something that pleases some people. And some people are like, I'm going to go take a break during this. This isn't for me. I thought that since I started watching. There's wrestlers you gravitate to, angles you gravitate to, and so on. So I think that's what Brian was trying to say. But of course, he gets pinned as a hater and so on. And, you know, this is what happens. Things get clipped. But I don't really think it was unfairly treated. That's his opinion. And you see Brian say, oh, he watches too much wrestling and all these things. He needs to take a break. I encourage people to watch, to not just watch wrestling. You shouldn't. You shouldn't commit your social time and your entertainment time to just one medium. It's like if I was just watching Boston Red Sox baseball games, that's the only thing I watch. You don't get any perspective outside the bubble. And I think with wrestling, what happens is it there's so much of it that this is maybe just the only thing that some people watch. And I encourage you either. You get perspective, especially with people that work in the business. You got to watch other stuff. Do other things. Not just the, you know, go touch grass, but just experience the other types of entertainment and art to give you perspective. And no, you don't have to like everything. So that's why I think Brian was saying. And of course, the other conjecture of the week, as we start to approach the break here, was star ratings. And Brian also said he had a little rant as far as people being upset about Dave Meltzer about not rating this Mercedes Moné Maya World match from Forbidden Door. I agree with the sentiment. It's not that hard to find 30 minutes to get this done. And by extending it out, it just makes the issues around it worse. We're very concerned about this. And I built it up this major thing. And I agree with what Brian was saying in that it don't let it ruin your day. It's going to happen at some point. Unfortunately, it's turned into this big story. This is what it is. Things get blown out of proportion and things just happen, but you should be able to criticize people and you should be able to criticize art and love art as long as you're doing it in good faith, right? After the break, we'll get back to the in-ring, Saturday Night's Main Event, and a lot more. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, coming right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday, July 19th. Josh Nason, back with you. We're getting some in-ring here. Because there's a lot that happened on Saturday and a lot, of course, in the weeks ahead. There always is. But last night we had head-to-head shows. Saturday night's main event live. AEW Collision, not live. But we had some interesting developments here for Redemption coming up next weekend. So, of course, Saturday night's main event coming to you from Madison Square Garden, the one and only. I've heard the world's most famous arena called that, of course. I've heard some people say it's a very overrated term. I've been there a couple times. It's fine. It hasn't never blown me away. I think sometimes promotion and you tag something with a title being the world's greatest arena, I think it just sticks and people are like, wow, it certainly is, but maybe they've never been to another one or they haven't been there, but there's certainly a ton of history there. There's no doubt about that. And they had a little bit more history last night being Saturday night's main event. My show going into this, and it's always kind of thinking ahead with this, when I look at the schedule, there are so many shows right now. Like, does WWE need Saturday night's main event? It's really just an IP play. They need it. Do we need another 2 hours in addition to 2+ hours of Raw, 2+ hours of SmackDown? We have PLE coming up. Of course, if you're watching NXT, it's a lot. So it always kind of brings me this thought, and it's something that Tony Khan mentioned a couple of years ago, was, I think if I remember right, someone asked him about like, why is he put big matches on TV? It's something like that. But I remember his answer saying, well, WBD is paying us. It's our biggest revenue generator. They're paying us a lot of money to draw ratings. I'm paraphrasing here. So we should be putting on big things on TV. They're paying us a lot of money to do that. And that was a fresh perspective in that your rights holders, and when you have multiple rights holders, it can create difficulties in terms of where you're trying to, again, going back to what I said in the first segment, you're trying to please everybody and you end up pleasing no one and everything's kind of scattered around. WWE seems to have kind of walked the tightrope with that a little bit, but you have NBC Universal, Netflix, and of course you have international and domestic and so on. And you have ESPN with the PLEs. So this show is, of course, to satisfy Peacock, so you have to do something. And there's arguments for all this, that a lot of this, and we'll talk about Redemption a bit later, is that you can, so much stuff just could be on TV and make a better TV product instead of doing a separate thing which people have to try to go out of their way to commit to. Saturday Night's Main Event kind of feels like that. There was some news coming out last night. We'll focus on some of the big things. And we'll have, I believe, a deeper dive recap on Wrestling Observer later on. the big stories, of course, the main event match, which was CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, taking on Gunther and Nick on Nick Aldis. Sami Zayn, Nick Aldis, of course, got involved. Entertaining the last few minutes, Nick Aldis pulling the referee out of the ring, his second referee out of the ring, because the first one got hurt. And you love this when you have a referee gets knocked out, and at the perfect moment for whatever, that's when a second referee tends to come out. I remember thinking as a kid, like, why don't they just have a second referee at all times in case something happens? That was before I understood how the business worked. Anyway, so Aldis appears from Nick Aldis appears from under the ring, hits Gunther with a WWE title belt, and then Gunther ends up getting pinned by Cody Rhodes after Punk pulled him on top, and they successfully, for a few minutes, avoided the two teammates can't get along deal. Of course, they are going head to head at SummerSlam. After the match, if you notice, these guys kind of lingering out around in the ring. Punk has his belt on one shoulder, moves it to the other, happens to flip it around, and Cody, of course, is close enough where it clips him in the face, and Punk just kind of walks away and high fives and so on and so forth, and that's that. So, of course, so the build to that will continue. I believe there was a social segment or a segment on social media last night after where there was a little bit of confrontation. It's going to take out, probably play a little bit more at the SummerSlam kickoff show or whatever it's being called at Fanatics Fest. It's another thing you have to pay attention to. And Fanatics Fest, we'll talk about more in the next segment. But yeah, there was a Danhausen match. We had several of the New York Knicks. Of course, we had Carl Anthony Towns appearing with Danhausen. That was a big segment. We had a WWE blimp make its return, congratulating the New York Knicks. So that's been some of you remember back, I think it was the In Your House days where they had a blimp flying around and probably a WrestleMania as well. So that was a little retro deal there. Bayley lost. Brian Alvarez noting that there's, quote unquote, there are certainly a lot of rumors about Bayley's WWE future. Take that for what you will. And we had in the main event segment, Jalen Brunson coming out with Roman Reigns. And essentially this was a setup for Jalen Brunson to get a commemorative, a customized New York Knicks championship belt. And then for Jalen Brunson's big rival, Tyrese Halliburton of the Indiana Pacers, who has not played in over a year due to a pretty severe Achilles tear. And he came out to distract away from Seth Rollins getting in the ring, who attacked Roman Reigns. This led into Jalen Brunson standing in the way of Seth Rollins before Roman Reigns could, before Seth Rollins could deliver curb stomp to Roman Reigns. Reigns got up, Superman punch spear, and Seth Rollins sent packing. Tyrese Halliburton never got in the ring. Jalen Brunson didn't really have to do much here. He never said any words. He had sunglasses on, just kind of meandered a little bit in the ring, just standing by where this this beatdown is taking place, and then, of course, gets in the way and had just kind of raise his arms, raise his title belt and so on, and just taking the adulation from the Madison Square Garden crowd. So, I mean, you can't – Brunson and Halliburton can't wrestle. The NBA will never allow them to – their NBA teams will never allow them to do that. Brunson has a wrist injury, I believe. He had a big cast on his left hand or wrist, so something's going on there. Of course, he played hurt through the playoffs. And Tyrese Halliburton tore his Achilles in the end of the 2024-2025 season. He had to miss the entire 25-26 season. So the Pacers, there's no way they're going to allow their star franchise player to get physical. Are they going to be in the corners for SummerSlam? That's very possible. WWE really seems to love these two getting involved. Of course, the show is going to take place in Minnesota, where neither man has any connection to that as well. So it's this leaning in. It was the perfect encapsulation of what WWE has always really valued, which is validation from celebrities. Fanatics Fest, validation from celebrities. And this is a smart strategic move by Nick Khan to really, if they're really going to do this better than Vince McMahon ever did, if you want to get to be on the shoulder to shoulder with some of the best in sports, you have to be the same place as they are. And their deal with Fanatics that they signed years ago, that has really paid off dividends with this. You had all these stars at this Fanatics Fest all weekend. Roman Reigns, he was throwing through a perfect strike in this MLB setup that they had there. We have, of course, this stupid Tom Brady thing, which I'll talk about later with Logan Paul. And we had, the guys are just interacting with Hobnob, and WWE is accepted with them and not seen as a an outsider, if you will. So that was Saturday night's main event. And of course, we're going right into Raw on Monday. I'm sure there'll be plenty on some things happening for Next Fest on Sunday. And of course, that'll be talked about a little bit later tonight on WrestlingObserver.com. I've not seen anything as of now, but certainly there'll be more to come later on. We had Collision last night, which was a tape show. And we knew it was going to be tape show. Of course, get taped Thursday in Boston, Massachusetts. My first AEW Dynamite week that I was not in the house for a Boston show. I live just over an hour away because I was in Vermont. So I forgot it was in Boston until the day after. So there you go. But yeah, we had a little bit of AEW news last night. We had, of course, the big things were some developments for Redemption, which include Will Ospreay and Jon Moxley against the Young Bucks. How about that? That's an interesting match, and that should be a really great match for the pay-per-view. We also had the Jericho versus Ciampa match coming up. This is going to be a no DQ match. There's your blood and gore. We had Hikaru Shida defending against Maya World for the TBS Championship. That's being added to Redemption as well. I think my assumption there is Athena costs Maya World the title. That sets up their match at All In in Wembley, and that's where Maya World is going to get her big moment and win the Ring of Honor Women's World title, which will end Athena's way too long title reign. And hopefully we can make some evolutions past that. Of course, confirmed over the past couple days, Christian Cage and Adam Copeland will defend against the Death Riders team of Pac and Claudio Castagnoli. That was made official on social media on Friday, I believe. So we have those two matches. That card is, we'll chat about this more in the second segment. It's an unnecessary pay-per-view, but I don't think there's any question the in-ring is going to be off the hook, as the kids say. Kenny Omega, Kevin Knight for the AEW World title, Kyle Fletcher and Bandido for the international title, both awesome. Jericho versus Ciampa, no DQ match, should be entertaining. Mark Davis versus Andrade for the national title, that should be fun. Mark Davis really just career resurgence, man, good for him. Cage and Copeland against the Death Riders, Ospreay Moxley against Young Bucks, thumbs up. Tekla versus Willow for the world title, women's world title, that should be good. I think that seems to be developing for, obviously, for All In, so kind of a placeholder there. Shida versus Maya World for the TBS title, that's a transitional match. The Rougeaus in their pre-show Dynasty Wrestling Dynasty celebration. So we'll see, and I'm sure two or three more matches will get added and so on. But yeah, we had some developments there. We also had some developments for Dynamite. We'll talk about no DQ match, Divine Dominion against the Sisters of Sin. I assume that sets something up for Redemption. And then we also had Jay White wrestling his first match in over a year on Dynamite as that feud with the Dogs and Bullet Club Gold. The Bang Bang Gang continues. We'll come right back with a lot more. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday, July 19th. Josh Nason with you. Back in action here on Sundays. We'll be throughout the rest of the summer and probably beyond that, splitting some duties with Andrew Zarian when needed. So we'll have more regular shows on Sundays. I promise you that. We also have more regular shows on Saturdays because Jim Valley has returned from vacation with lots to talk about. So you can check him out, of course, on WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check out Brian Alvarez, the controversial Brian Alvarez, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They call those weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. Same outlets, WrestlingObserver.com, Sports Byline, Over the Air Affiliates, Armed Force Network, and so on and so forth. Thank you for joining me. I know you have a lot of choice in your podcast day and your listening day. If you're listening to me, I greatly appreciate it. You can hit me up at Josh Nason, JOSHNASON, on X or Blue Sky ideas for the show. We're going to get a thread going for questions from our subscribers. Hope we get that going in the next week. And yeah, the questions we want to talk about UFC, pro wrestling, life in general, I'll be happy to answer those. So we're looking to do that in the weeks ahead. Let's get some things I think I know I think. stealing this from Sean McAdam of Mass Live, in a longtime Boston Red Sox reporter. He has a column, and I love it, so I'm just going to lift the name of it here with full credit to Sean. Some things I think I know I think. I think I know that Tom Brady should not be wrestling. And I think I know I'm tired of pro wrestling being the junk drawer for every celebrity to get something out of their system. If a celebrity, an actor, well, I guess this happened. These happen actually a lot in baseball with spring training. Garth Brooks, you know, the musician Garth Brooks, he actually was in camp with the San Diego Padres, if I remember right, when I was growing up, and actually like got actually like at bats in games. Of course, they had Michael Jordan and so on, but you don't really get like, you know, if someone's like, if a pro wrestler said, I want to go play in the NBA, they couldn't just go do that. But for some reason, someone says, oh, I want to do something with WWE. I want to wrestle. It's come right in. We'll make it happen. That's what's going to happen with Tom Brady and Logan Paul. In case you missed it, and I think I talked about this earlier, Tom Brady slapping Logan Paul at Fanatics Fest, which is now the hub of everything happening with pro wrestling and sports entertainment. WWE just leaning into this like nobody's business. No big surprise. This is one area in which, you know, Brian in his rants, talking about, you know, things AEW could be a lot bigger than it is. I'm paraphrasing. I don't really think so. And that's not a slight on AEW. I think it's just a reality of the situation that WB has decades of nostalgia, decades of building their brand. AEW has almost seven. So it's not even close in that aspect. And they really have just, they've got in bed with these brands like Fanatics and that lean into these relationships. Netflix and so on, and that one, and brands that really like to give back in terms of cross promotion, and our stars should appear on your program and so on. This is why I think I don't know if WBD has been a great partner for AEW outside just the money. And granted, that's, you know, the Mad Men meme, that's what the money is for. But there is, I mean, WBD, in case you haven't heard, they're kind of big. they have a lot of crossover stars and shows and things like that. And they've done a few things like promotions or, you know, cross promotions like House of the Dragon, and there's a Rick and Morty episode or a partnership, and there's been some DC stuff. Did you see, you know, the Supergirl movie? See Millie Alcock, I believe is her name. Was she sitting ringside at AEW Dynamite or at a pay-per-view? No? Why not? NHL, they deal with TNT. That's a WBD company. Where are they? No NHL players want to come to games, or there's some promotion there, right? All the years the NBA was on. You know, you can't get Charles Barkley and Ernie Johnson or something like that to come sit ringside and get that. No, why not? The House of the Dragon. Millie Alcock also is in that. Think about those things. Think about, and granted, some of it is completely obnoxious, especially in the, you know, the Netflix approach, but they certainly do a lot better job making it seem maybe to the outside world that people care about WB. AEW, it's very rare they have celebrities, like only when they're in LA, you know? And so it's just kind of one of those things that I think about a little bit. But with Tom Brady, speaking of celebrities, like, he's going to wrestle Logan Paul. It's probably... Are they going to wait till WrestleMania in Saudi? That seems to make the most sense. I think they have a Saudi show again coming up this fall, I believe. It's usually three shows a year, right? So at some point they're going to have another one. Does that make sense? I mean, Saudi Arabia and Tom Brady are in bed with each other. Of course, this, the Fanatics Football League, the Flag Football League, and so on. So, yeah, I just don't need to see it. Tom Brady's the greatest football player of all time. He's got oodles and oodles of money. He's doing this thing now where he's my age. We're both the same age, 48, both very handsome equally. I will say that. But for some reason, he's dressing like he's in his 20s and just really trying to lean into influencer culture and so on. And to me, it's just like, it just doesn't feel right. And this doesn't feel right. And it's just weird to see him, like, if he's going to do this, it's with Logan Paul, another guy who's an influencer, kind of come in from the outside. Granted, he's work hard, he's athletic, and so on and so forth. But it's just weird to see, like, WWE, it feels like they're being used by these guys, and it didn't feel right. I'm like, this, they feel like they have no control over it. This is just TKO just smiling, and, you know, and even WWE to an extent, this is what they want. You know, they don't want Tom Brady versus Roman Reigns or a Tom Brady versus CM Punk or something like that. So no, it's another influencer, and it just feels gross. Just feels weird. So things I know that I think. Things I learned that I didn't know I thought before. Do you know that Netflix in the first 6 months of this year had over 8,200 seasons or shows available on their service worldwide? 8,200. I was doing a skim through it for looking at WWE's most viewed shows of the year and so on, and for the WWE stuff, and I was going through, and it's just like, how many shows are on this thing? It's crazy. And so WWE accounted for, I believe it was 140 million. Is that what I wrote? Something like that. It was like 140 million total views in the first 6 months of the year, which is pretty, you know, it's notable. But it is notable only when you, yeah, what I got my number here. It was 149 million global views and over 327 million global hours viewed in the first half of 2026. And this, of course, PLE is domestically or internationally, Raw worldwide for the most part. And you kind of get it at this point, right? So comparatively, just to get an idea, the limited series His and Hers with John Berthal and Tessa Thompson did 104 million views. And WWE did 149 million. This is when, you know, it comes to like how invested is Netflix in WWE. It's really like, how much did that cost to make versus the amount that they're paying WWE? That's 49 million. And His and Hers probably is a longer shelf life, I would say, just sitting there as a service so that people haven't watched it. And I don't know how many people are going back to watch Raw. So that was just something that really kind of stuck out to me. And it comes down to cost. You know, WWE is in the event business, and going forward, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see when they hit that, we're closing in that 5-year mark here in a couple of years, they have that option to renew. I think they can renew up to 10, at least 10 years, but I think maybe another decade they can add on. I'm very interested in that. I don't think it's a slam dunk as much as people might think. I think they'd love to get that WWE PLE business worldwide, so maybe they're going to hold off for that and really make a bid. So I don't know, just something to kind of keep in mind that as well performing as WWE might seem to be, they have a lot of other shows that do almost as much and perhaps a lesser cost. So just to kind of keep that in mind. Other things I know, I think, as we kind of wrap the bend here. Conor McGregor, boy, last week I would have loved to be able to do a show. What a disappointment that whole thing was. And then the other day, I mean, you kind of know the news at this point, but the developing news, he's saying that he, so apparently he tore his ACL. This is what Dana White said at a press conference last night after UFC fight night, whatever. Kamaru Usman losing to the other DDP via unanimous decision, easy for me to say. And he said Conor tore his ACL. So if that's correct, and Dana White sometimes has not been correct, puts him out, say, a year. He wanted to be able to fight by April. I'm not sure why that was, but we'll see if that affects something contract-wise or whatever. But he thinks that the decision, Conor McGregor thinks that the decision should be made a no contest for his fight against Max Holloway, and all the bets return to people. What a mensch. I mean, what a champion for the small guy. He was certainly promoting his Mac Life drink, I think it was, some sort of energy drink afterwards, smiling. And I mean, look, I don't think he planned, obviously, to tear his ACL, and I don't believe in the conspiracy theories or anything like that. I just don't. But boy, they have really just, he and Max Holloway, after that fight, man, like they don't have the temperature of the room. Are there going to be people interested in seeing Conor fight again? Of course, but this was really bad. You had a gate of what, 26 million, I think it was. Basically, nearly primarily see that. They weren't going to pay all that, see Paddy Pimblett and, oh my God, whoever we beat in the Derenner. Did we fight? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. They weren't paying all that money to go see Paddy Pimblett fight. This is all Conor McGregor show. And you go in there and think about all the money that you spent. If you flew there, if you bought tickets, if you're like, this is it, I got to be there. And that's what you come away with. And the fighter in it just doesn't really seem to care that much. You know, he was obviously mad. He didn't even sit, talk to the fans after. You don't even get that. Just leaves. I mean, that is just the emptiest of empty feelings. And then Max Holloway saying he wants to run it back. You know, and like, imagine telling it to people that paid almost $30 million, a record gate, that, oh, we'll just run this back again. Those people aren't going to get in there for free. They're going to pay the prices again. And the other day I heard the building was scaled for $50 million initially. 50, 5-0. Can you imagine if that gate had been $50 million and that's what happened? An absolute disaster. But fans, it's a tax of being a fight fan. It's a tax of being a fight fan. We have Redemption coming up this week. Some things I know, I think this pay-per-view doesn't need to happen. From a financial standpoint, I'm sure it's going to do well for AEW in-ring. I'm sure it'll be fine from a storyline perspective. We can all admit it's a little weak, and something may have happened to MJF. He may have got hurt. We're not really sure. I think we all agree it probably doesn't need to happen. Having said that, we're going to preview it next week. We're going to be excited about it because the in-ring should be good, but we'll see how things develop. But from it's a transitional pay-per-view. Do they really need to have a transitional pay-per-view in 2026 in the year of our Lord here? I don't know about that. We'll see how that plays out. After the break, we'll preview the week ahead, which includes Redemption. Wrestling Observer Live, Josh Nason. Come right back after this. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, closing things up for a Sunday, July 19th. Happy to be back, getting some of the rust off. The podcasting voice here to redo my whole setup. I unplugged one wire. That turned to 30 minutes of trying to figure out everything. Alas, you don't care about that. What you do care about is wrestling talk. We'll look at the week ahead, which includes, of course, AEW Redemption on Sunday. I'm very interested to see how this pay-per-view goes in the buzz going into it. We'll have a Tony Khan media call probably on Thursday. And it's an earlier start time as well. I haven't mentioned that. So we'll have an earlier start time for our subscribers for Wrestling Observer Live. We have to do a preview of the show. Of course, you're listening to Sports Byline. Certainly listen there as well, 6 p.m. Eastern. We will we'll have the full show there, of course. So earlier start time. Does that mean that the show is going to end earlier? Or does that simply mean an extra hour for action? I guess that question will be answered a little bit by what they add this week. This is a pretty fascinating time, right? AEW and more content. We're in the more content era. But the week ahead, we'll start with, of course, Monday. We have Raw. We in Tuesday, NXT. Wednesday, Dynamite and the go-home show for Redemption, followed by AEW Collision TV taping. They're going to tape that show afterwards. It's going to air on Saturday. Thursday, Ring of Honor and TNA. Friday, SmackDown. And Saturday, of course, Collision. And then AAA on Fox Sports. We have Redemption coming up in the earlier start time. I believe 6 o'clock is the start time on Sunday. And then also, we have, of course, the G1. And we'll have full coverage of that for New Japan's biggest tournament of the year. Only tournament of the year, I guess. Actually, not the only one. But regardless, their biggest tournament of the year. And that full coverage on WrestlingObserver.com. We'll have you locked there with podcasts and articles and columns and all the good stuff you expect at WrestlingObserver.com. Again, thank you to all of our subscribers. Thank you to listening on Sports Byline. Thank you, Producer Bailey. And it is good to be back, and we'll be back for the whole summer. Talk to you next Sunday. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason has wrapped.